You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation
and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, we have welcomed thousands of guests from over 30 countries, earning us over $1 million and garnering us thousands of five-star reviews.
We love sharing creative ways for your listing to stand out, serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode, we will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry.
Or we will share our stories of our own experiences so you can implement actual improvements to your rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Before we dive into the content, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
My favorite operations and cleaning tool. Come on, everyone. You know what it is by now. It's Breezeway. It just got a whole lot better for Airbnb hosts.
Breezeway's platform has always helped hosts manage work like cleaning, maintenance, and inspections at their properties. But now their technology is integrated with Airbnb, which means you can connect your Airbnb reservation info with Breezeway, helping you save even more of your precious time, like automatically notifying your cleaners on a new reservation or changes to an existing reservation.
You can use Breezeway to schedule cleaning, inspections, and maintenance tasks using smart checklists and automated messaging to maintain a consistent guest experience.
Connect your Airbnb guest reviews with individual tasks in Breezeway. For example, fridge stopped working and the guest mentioned it in your review, a Breezeway maintenance task will help you make sure it gets fixed as soon as possible.
Respond to guest messages all in one platform. Hosts can now view and respond to Airbnb message threads within the Breezeway platform.
And that's not all. The Breezeway Guide is a personalized digital welcome book, and they also have Breezeway Assist, a 24-hour call service supplemented with Breezeway's AI-driven engine, are also connected through this Airbnb integration.
There are so many things that Breezeway can help you tackle, so check out Breezeway for yourself. TFE listeners will receive free implementation when you decide to make Breezeway a part of your hosting operational strategy, just like Annette and I have. Visit breezeway.io/TFE to learn more. That's breezeway.io/TFV. Hello, welcome back for another great week. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for visiting. All right, we're going to kick off our episode like we do every week, and that's sharing one of you, our amazing listeners, who's using our hashtag on Instagram, hashtag SDR Share Sunday. We will share you on the gram on Sundays, a whole bunch of pictures, tagging to your Instagram account, and we'll also share you to our email subscribers here on the podcast. Annette, who are we sharing this week?
This week, we are sharing at Mira Riverfront Getaway. Again, that's at Mira Riverfront Getaway, and it's M-I-R-A. And I want to go straight to this amazing thing that they have, because Sarah and I just recorded a YouTube video about this. Shameless plug, if you don't follow us or subscribe to our YouTube channel, you should do that today. But Mira Riverfront Getaway is a shining example of the video we filmed today, and they have a VIP program for their regulars at their property. And I'm going to read off exactly what this is so there are no questions left unanswered. Their VIP program is for their quote-unquote regulars, which are guests who return each year to one of our properties. To meet VIP status, you must stay a minimum of 3 nights in a calendar year for 3 consecutive years in a row. To show their appreciation, their regulars will receive advanced booking, access to our summer calendar for the following year before the release date. So there's some exclusivity there. VIP welcome basket and gift. I'm interested.
What's in there?
And then 10% off bookings made at least 6 months in advance. Boom. I love this VIP program. Well done, Mira Riverfront Getaway. Please go to their Instagram, give them some love, check out their website, check out their VIP program, and I encourage you start one for yourself today. Speaking of VIP, lead into our guest because we just had a VIP experience at her vacation rental. And we were admittedly complete strangers when we walked in her door, but we felt like family when we left. Who is on our show today?
Yeah, Sarah. That was a little cryptic. So we were strangers. We were brought together for a mastermind, end of year, just some ladies getting together and talking about business growth. And it was so funny because our friend Haley said, hey, my friend Veronica has a vacation rental. And of course, Annette and I are not only excited about meeting Veronica, but also seeing her vacation rental because we're obsessed. But
on the beach.
on the beach. Like water, you could like touch it. Veronica Romney is a dream team architect who helps online entrepreneurs build their dream teams and train their rainmaking marketing leaders. She's a former speaker and trainer for Tony Robbins. Yes, the Tony Robbins and Dean Graziosi and the former chief of staff of mega brand Boss Babe. Maybe you listen to their podcast too. She's no stranger to the stage and has been in the online marketing world for over 15 years and has been featured in places like Forbes, Inc., HuffPost, ABC News Radio, and so much more when she's not helping her visionary clients scale to 8 figures plus. You can find her wrangling her 2 man cubs in the beautiful oak trees of North Carolina. Veronica, we are pumped to talk to you today. Welcome to the show.
Oh my gosh, what an intro. I'm so excited to be here.
You're a star. And it's so funny because we could really talk to you about 2 things and maybe we'll figure out a way to do that. One, you know, building dream teams, because you have a really good how to hire freebie that I think we can share with our listeners in our show notes, which could be really interesting for people who are growing their teams. Mm-hmm. But also, you own a vacation rental property and you have, no surprise, made it your own in terms of how you manage it. And so we are excited to talk to you about that today.
Yeah. Veronica, why don't you just let our listeners know about your property, how you purchased it, when you purchased it, made this dream come true. And then we're going to segue into this hybrid with your property management team that we cannot wait to share with our listeners.
Well, and truth be told, I've actually never publicly talked about the Sea Glass Lookout. So this is a first for me. And nice. I hope that it sounds just as smart as I do talking about the other things that I geek out about. But yes, and we're no strangers, by the way, to investment properties. We have done this thing where we lived in a townhouse and then turned it into a rental and then lived in a townhouse, then turned it. But these are long-term rentals where we have families that stay with us for at least a year contract. So really, this beach property was the first time we had ever done short term vacation rental, and it scared us to death. Like, it was really scary. However, we were very motivated because we wanted this for ourselves. So we wanted to literally, for me, my husband, my 2 little boys, we moved to North Carolina. We started vacationing on the coast, fell madly in love as one does. There's a reason that Nicholas Sparks lives here and writes books about North Carolina, because you just fall in love. And it's usually on a beach. And we fell in love with this island called Topsail Island back when the sails of the pirates would come in and hide in the harbors and things like that, right? And so there's a city in the middle of it called Surf City. Very family centric. It doesn't have the vibe of Wilmington, which is very college oriented and more youth. It is very family centric. We loved it. And we would spend like close to $1,000, like just the weekend. I'm like, that's ridiculous, right? So we are investment oriented. We have our own, you know, entrepreneurial pursuits, of course. So we're like, why don't we buy an asset? And then hopefully it can pay for itself. It can subsidize itself with its rental income. And so we did, we got aggressive, and it was right after the pandemic had started. So everybody was doing the staycations and everybody was like hunting for properties. I like to boast that I found it first before our realtor did. Of course I did. I'm like a classic overachiever on paper, like in all the ways. So I found it. We put in an offer. We bid like 50 grand above asking because we just didn't want to play. And we got accepted within 24 hours because thankfully the seller didn't want to play the game either. And we put an offer, overbid, sight unseen.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, wait a second. This is your first short-term rental.
Yeah.
You went 50 over asking, sight unseen. How yeah. are you running the numbers with, you said you were not scared to death because this is, you dove straight in. So were you and your husband running numbers? Were you running numbers? Were you?
I mean, we had an idea because okay. because we were renters first and we gotcha. Knew what the rates were for like a 1.5 bedroom on the beach in a condominium. We could only imagine what some of the rates, and we had started with my family would come in town. We would start renting the bigger houses on the beach, and we were charged thousands and thousands and thousands mm-hmm. of dollars for a couple of days. So I knew what my experience was like renting on the island several times.
So we kind of like guesstimated the best that we could, but we really didn't even really run the actual numbers until we were already in contract, which is very gutsy. I know.
Right. So you weren't that scared. You trusted yourself. All right. So were there other bidders or did it get into a battle? Because like you said, it was during the pandemic, or was it like they took it and they were done?
No, we had, again, the seller. This was completely on the sellers because everybody else on the island, they were in massive bidding wars where they would list it right before the weekend. Then they would go to everybody who, like the 20 people that would put in their submission within 24 hours, they'd go to those 20 and be like, okay, final offers by Sunday. And then it was even like, then it was more lucrative. So because of our particular seller, He just wanted to be one and done. So it was technically me, us, and another submission, and we were over him. So he's like, done. Of the two, you're the best.
Wonderful. And so sight unseen, was that just because you happened to be on Zillow one day and you saw it and you're like, that guy? Or is that it? You're nodding your head.
I was frantic. I would check Zillow and realtor.com on a regular basis, multiple times a day, and saw it first. Yeah.
Gotcha. So listeners, if you want something, go get it. Okay. So you've got the place and, you know, Sarah and I know the story, but let's talk about you acquiring it and then starting to, you know, your short-term rental.
Because it was already a rental, right? Yes. It was already operating.
Yeah, no, it was. It was already a rental, but so here's the thing about the island. It's dominated by property management groups. And I'm talking like 20, 30 year plus property management groups that have the bulk of the real estate. And that's how, again, that was our rental experience as a renter ourselves, where we would have to go through their website, go through their listing service to rent from them. There was very few Airbnb properties. There's now more coming on the island. But even if you really think about it, it's shocking how little inventory is actually on Airbnb compared to the massive property management sites. Mm-hmm. So when we picked it up, it was already, that's what I'm saying. We got the numbers after we had already been in contract and we saw that they already had like 80 grand in rental income booked for the year. So that was, oh, hallelujah. That was kind of a relief. But it was all through this property management group. And I don't want to dog on them, so I'm not going to name them, but they have a reputation that precedes them of not being awesome or excellent. This is not a Nordstrom experience.
Okay.
But they had our bookings. So we knew we were coming into the property and we knew that we were also inheriting this property management company and team. Yep.
So you knew about their reputation before you even learned that they were managing the property. Mm-hmm. You heard of them. Okay. And so then you get into contract, you're like, oh, ABC Property Management has this property. Well, that stinks. So then what does the ever resourceful Veronica decide to do at that moment?
She shows up to her personal booking hours before she's supposed to.
Okay.
Okay.
Literally. So do you want to know how your property is being managed and maintained? Come when you're not supposed to come. So we were going to show up, but again, check-in is at whatever 4, usually it's at 4 p.m. Eastern, right? And so we made a point to leave like blazing early in the morning because we live 2.5 hours away. We came really, really early and we already had our keypad code. So we walked in just to see what it was because there is normal flip cleaning where you can be like, okay, there's hair in the bathroom. That makes sense. There's sand in the house. Well, that makes sense. But you can see when things have been caked. You can see when it's been in distress for a really long time. Fan blades don't lie.
Oh, that's a real...
I need a t-shirt that says that, Veronica.
Fan blades don't lie. Every fan listener is like, dang, lie. They don't lie.
That's a... Okay, they don't lie.
Facts.
They don't Those lie. Are facts. And they were also renting the property out as pet friendly.
Okay.
So I came in... And I saw the fan blades and I saw the corners and I saw the condition. And then I made the horrific realization. Well, I had to do it, but like I didn't want to do it. Ignorance is truly bliss, but in this case, I couldn't. I flipped all the rugs in the house.
Oh, no.
You don't want to know.
I'm going to use the word saturation.
You don't want to know.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Like, you know how like a tree ring, the more rings is like the age of the tree?
Oh, no. Okay.
So... Needless to say, all rugs were disposed of immediately. And same thing with curtains. That also, if you were to lift the curtain, you would see that also, like, there shouldn't be a trim. It's not the trim. So that's the thing. We came in. And it was interesting because the cleaning crew that showed up and the inspector that showed up, they saw us there first and you could tell like, uh-oh.
Just fear.
Busted.
Right.
And then the other thing too is I'm a daughter of a 33-year HVAC contractor. Like my parents own an air conditioning company for 33 years in South Florida. So I'm the daughter of said person. And so one of the other things that we did immediately was we opened all the grills and we started looking at the filters. 75% of them didn't have filters. And the ones that did have filters, they had been in there for at least 8 months. And then the ones that didn't have filters, I think tenants had taken it out and put it in closets. We found them in the closets, these like, not saturated, but like caked air conditioning filters. So just the things that we found, guys, you don't need to know.
So
you
it's
don't
not only, and you know what that tells me too, as a property owner and as a fellow property manager, it's like not only were you lackadaisical about the cleaning,
yep.
The safety of the property and the
correct.
Care of your mm-hmm. expensive utilities and appliances have been neglected, which is just crazy disrespect for your client or homeowner. Okay, so then what do? Do you, I mean, the cleaning team, it's like, do you hold them accountable or do you call the property management company right away?
Yeah, are you making
a
list?
Yeah, we call the boss. We call the boss because it's if your team, and I say this too as a dream team architect, like if your team, if your kids are running amok, it's like, well, they were left without supervision.
Right.
Like I don't even leave my 6-year-old and 9-year-old at home without some supervision. It's the same idea. Like your cleaning crew is going to be lackadaisical because you don't hold them to a standard to then hold them accountable to.
Exactly.
No different. So I went straight to the property management group. But now there's the property management, like the LLC, the entity itself, and then they have teams. So there's team 4, team 3, like team number.
Okay.
And so we were appointed to a team. So I immediately was like, what in the world? And I complained about the team. So they came on site and assured us that, you know, but you would be horrified. Like no beds had like bed bug protections or mattress. I mean, like just the things that you talk about in your YouTube and your social media IG reels, like the basics was not even there.
Okay.
And these are 30-year property management teams. Like yeah. There's no excuse. And so, yeah, we went straight to the team and then they made apologies and they switched out our cleaning crew and all the things. But then again, I did it again, where I showed up, you know, weeks later.
Dang.
Were you booking under your right name, under your name?
Huh?
Did you have an alias? Were you booking under an alias name? Okay.
No. You even made it easy for them.
I did make it easy
owner's coming.
For them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Or, well, in this case, because again, we have one person who's leaving at 10 a.m. and the next person who's leaving at 4 p.m., but we live local. So why can't we go to our property between 10 and 4? So like we would go sometimes even in between the tenants just to like check it out or like to hang out by the beach and have access to the shower and the bathroom and the hot tub, right? Like why not? So we would go unannounced. And again, all the things that they had made promises were not being fulfilled. So then we fired or we requested a new team. So then we were still being held captive by the property management group, but we were assigned to a different team. And then it just...
What
we
does
all
held captive mean?
Up.
Is that because your contract, you were contractually?
Well, they had our leases.
Oh, they had
all the rentals.
Right.
Bookings,
and
right.
Let's explain that to listeners because I think Sarah and I know this. So that first season, we'll call it, mm-hmm. they had all of those bookings that were booked and none of those bookings were via Airbnb at all. Correct?
No.
They were all direct
Zero.
Bookings with that site. So the good
correct.
News is none of the reviews were going to
correct
your account. So I do want to say there is kind of a silver lining there of that you weren't on Airbnb and none of these reviews were reflective truly of you being the owner and caretaker of the property. So
correct.
They had the whole season. So as the season goes on and sounds like it's not going so smooth, where does this come in? Because like you said, this island, they still deliver linens. So where do you decide I'm going to shake it up a bit?
Okay. So this is how it goes down. This is how the breakup goes
yeah,
down.
Yeah. We want to know how do you break up? Because they still have the contracts. Like you got to give them some leeway. It's
and
like,
give us all the sassy details.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the sassy details goes like this. And there's seasonality, obviously. Everybody wants to go to the beach in the summer. And then come wintertime, a lot of the property manager or property owners decide to winterize and just shut it down. Like they just lock up the house for several months in the winter because who wants to go when it's like 20 or 30 degrees to the beach? I do.
December was amazing.
It was amazing. Man.
I do, but not everybody else does.
Okay.
So we didn't do that. But these property management teams are very, very accustomed to like basically having a very extended holiday. It's almost like teachers that go on break for summer, right? So they pretty much just like lock up shop. So we were coming to the property in November. We were going, I mean, tons, like, especially when there was nobody there. Like, we come in November a ton, we come in December a ton. It's gorgeous. And no one is there on the beach. You feel like it's exclusively your own beach in these winter months, right? But it's a duplex. It's a townhouse. So we share a wall with another unit. And the people that bought that are also very young, in their 30s, young family. We know them personally. And they forego the property management route completely, and they went straight to Airbnb. So I was stalking their Airbnb, as one does. It's called internet research. And I noticed that they had already had like 20-something bookings into the next year. So wow. Here I am in November, but they already have 20 bookings in 2022 or 2021, one of those. And I was like, wait a minute. So then I looked at my portal. I'm like, I got two. Why do we have two when they have 20? And I'm like, is this like a Blockbuster Netflix situation? Like, what in the actual, like, why are we not fishing where the fish are? And so I remember calling the property management team. I'm like, hey, I have a concern. Like, we're paying you a really high fee, but part of that fee is also like advertising and marketing. Like, you take care of it. But these people who are on Airbnb are having 20 bookings and we have two. As a marketer, I'm not down for this. So can we get on Airbnb? And they're like, no, we're anti-Airbnb. And I'm like, why are we anti-Airbnb? Because illegal and the exposure and the lie, blah, 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 blah. It's excuses, according, you know, in my opinion. I'm like, well, fine. Do you have a problem if I list it on Airbnb? Because I want why do I have to forego revenue in November, December, January, February, March if people want to book? Crazy people like me that want to go to the beach when nobody's there. He's like, yeah, we totally have no problem with that. I'm like, okay, great. So I put it on Airbnb. Got bookings immediately through the winter months. Like, the only month that I don't have a booking is usually just January. The rest of the month, I have bookings. So we went from having bookings May through September, maybe some in October, to now having bookings every month of the entire year except for January. Okay. But here's what I did that was maybe not so nice. And I'm just going to own it. Extreme Ownership. I love that book. I think they were under the impression that I would only list the property on Airbnb during their, what they deem their slow months. And I just left it open for all of the next year.
Okay.
And lo and behold, we got booked on Airbnb like mad crazy. And the property management group was like, whoa, 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 whoa. You have all these bookings, but now they can't use it. Basically, I kept on going into their portal and blocking things out as owner rental, owner rental, owner rental. And they're like, and there goes all their money. There goes their 18, 20% management fee week after week after week. The more I put owner rental, owner rental, owner rental. And that's when the fight went down. I'm like, well, listen, if you're not
going to... That's where the rubber met the road. It was time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I beat you. I win. If this was a competition on who can get better listings and faster listings and more expensive listings, I win by doing it myself on Airbnb. So are you going to help me? Are you going to meet me in the middle? Cause I'm happy to have you co-manage this with us. Like, I'm not, you already list on other, like, you know, third party websites. I'm okay with that. And they wanted nothing to do with it. They didn't want to manage. They wanted me to cancel the reservation on Airbnb and transfer that renter to their portal, to their system, so they would have to rebook and sign their agreement. And I said, absolutely not.
No way. I have so many questions for you.
Right.
First question is, first comment.
Am I going to get legal trouble to talking about this?
No, I don't think so.
No.
We're just going to say no. Asterisk, okay. We don't
and
know.
Here is, Annette and I learned this as we started to infiltrate the more, what do we call legacy vacation rental companies, is they have this, and I'm sure we have our own faults as like the new kids on the block, you know, circa 2008 and to now, but they have this like anti-Airbnb thing. Now, we do champion, you know, not putting all of your eggs in the Airbnb basket. We've said it many times. But to completely forego the probably the number one lead generator for
a company that spends billions of dollars on advertising
is bad business. So
it's
did
Netflix
you sign
versus Blockbuster? Yes. What are you thinking?
You can't. It's like, guys, you have to just, they won and we have to now just play. We got to play ball. Did you sign in your contract with number one? How does that work when you purchase a property that's already being managed with 80 grand of bookings?
Did you, how did that work with your contract with them? Or was there only like, hey, we've got your bookings and if you don't want them, fine. Is that what happened?
Yeah, they didn't strong arm us in any kind of agreement. And I actually reviewed the agreement. There was nothing in the agreement that said I couldn't do Airbnb. So like, I basically competed with them.
Yeah.
And they just bowed out. They're like, you know what? You're doing it unlike any other owner that we have in our portfolio. I'm like, fine.
Exactly. Right.
fine. I will break the 4-minute mile. If nobody else wants to run a 4-minute mile, that's their choice. But this horse is running a 4-minute mile.
Hey there, fellow hosts. Want to make your short-term rental feel like $1 million without breaking the bank?
You bet. That's where Manoan comes in. They've got deep discounts on over 100 amazing brands. Brands like Article, West Elm, Crate & Barrel, Pollywood, Wayfair, Parachute, and Fellow. Your guests will be swooning over the stylish furnishings and you'll be grinning at the money you saved.
And here's the exciting news. Manoan just leveled up their platform. Now you can easily sort through their brands with improved browsing and filtering capabilities, including host favorites, and unique finds. No more endlessly scrolling.
Plus, if you're a design-savvy host juggling multiple properties, Manoan has your back. You can tag quotes and orders by property so you can keep things organized like a pro.
And let's not forget, you can set up multiple properties under your one account. It's a breeze to manage them all in one place. Talk about convenience.
Oh, and customization is key. With Manoan, you can decide who gets email notifications for all of your quotes and order updates. No more inbox overload.
And also, of course, we cannot forget the most exciting thing about all of this. Manoan is 100% free for hosts. Yes, you've heard that right. There are no membership fees, no sneaky costs, just fabulous discounts and a stress-free experience.
So what are you waiting for? Don't waste another second. Go to ManoanExperience.com and sign up today. Your guests will thank you, your wallet will thank you, and we'll thank you for spreading the word.
Thanks for visiting the new Manoan.
I want to know, how did you start doing your pricing structure? Were you looking at what the old management company had for those weeks? Both. Were you looking at your neighbors? Were you kind of doing all of it? You're doing a hybrid dynamic.
Yeah, I had requested the price table. So I wanted to see what their intentions were to price my property. And they're like, our expert in our group does this nonstop and he sees the other. I'm like, yeah.
The revenue manager?
I went on Airbnb and started doing my research and basically plugging in dates on different, Airbnb websites to see what they were listing it at, what they were including, linens not including, this or that, or what extra fees, what the average cleaning fee would be. So I just did, again, stalking, also known as internet research.
You're an owner who cares. And question for you, and I don't know if hindsight's 2020, right? But had you not had the experience you did with seeing how they cared for your property, do you think you would have been as aggressive when it came to how it ended up? Or do you think it was kind of like having a bad check-in and then it winning you back was just really hard? Or was it just...
I think that's a fair question. When did my new boyfriend fart in front of me? I don't know. I think that's a fair question. You know what I mean? I get what you're asking. I don't know, because we haven't revealed this yet on the podcast, but I still work with... I co-manage my property with a property management company. Not that one.
Right.
A different one. That is Airbnb friendly.
Right.
So I'm not anti-property management. In fact, the properties that we rent in the West Coast, all those townhouses that we lived in previously, but before we converted them to rentals, we have a property management named Ludi, who is such a badass. I love her with all of my heart. So again, I'm very pro team and by the nature of my profession, but I'm also very pro property managers who are excellent at their job. I just knew that I wasn't with somebody who was excellent.
Right. Absolutely. Well, let's skip ahead. So what happens? So you guys break up. What happens? Yeah.
So we break up. At first, I'm really excited because I'm like, freedom, Braveheart. And then I have this moment of panic because I'm like, oh no. Because before we got our property manager for our West Coast properties, like in the mountains that we have it in, me and my husband were doing it. And we would get the 3 a.m. phone calls when there was flooding or the washer broke or there was and so it's not like those memories didn't fade. We know what it is to get the phone call. We know what it is to have a mother call us on behalf of their child who is renting, threatening to sue us if we didn't release her from her contract because we didn't allow her pet ferret. I don't even know. Mm-hmm. We've seen the horror. And so I told my husband, Scott, I was like, okay, like I don't want to do this without on-site help of some kind. Mm-hmm. And that on-site help can be in a really amazing cleaning crew that does beyond just the base, like cleaning plus. It can be, and that's when I went into like resource mode like crazy, because I knew for a fact with the busyness that is my personal life and my husband's, we both work full time and have two little boys and we're 2.5 hours away. If the stuff hits the fan, I'm not driving 2.5 hours. You know what I mean? And so he knew that we needed some kind of on-site support. We just didn't know where to find it. And that's when the search of searches went down. We didn't know it. We interviewed cleaning crew. I even reached out to other Airbnb hosts that were on the island. Like, do you want to host my property? Like I was like asking anybody, because I knew that I needed somebody on site.
Were you doing all of this just via like when you were interviewing the cleaning crews, were you doing this on Zoom? Were you and your husband going there for the weekend and then trying to connect with them?
We would do the legwork at home, okay. And we would do a lot of phone calls and DMing and all that kind of stuff at first. And then if that, you know, it's like when you're dating, like we would message each other back and forth. There was no scandalous texting, but like we would just message back and forth at first. And then if it progressed enough, we would make a point, okay, we're coming in 2 weeks. And then we would try to batch interview everybody. So like, I reached out to almost every, what I would call like more boutique property manager on the island, mm-hmm. that had maybe 100 properties or less in their portfolio. They weren't like the big warehouse ones that we were already a part of. And I probably met with 4 or 5 in one day. I also met with 3 different cleaning people in one day, just to kind of see what the lay of the land would be and what our options were.
And what happened? Who was the one?
We found a boutique property management group. I think they have 80 properties. It's Laura, and she manages more of the client facing side. And then there's Chop, who is definitely like the construction management maintenance arm. And they personally live on the island themselves on the sound wall, like on the sound side, which is like the intercoastal. So they personally live on the island. Their office is on the island, as opposed to some of the other ones that were off island, or they were in Wilmington, which is like an hour away, which no, thank you again. And they weren't anti-Airbnb. In fact, like she's like, when our properties aren't doing well on the traditional listing sites, we actually open up the Airbnbs ourselves for our owners. I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. So you're already doing that. I'm like, okay, here we go. And so we just worked out a flat rate. Every time we would have an Airbnb, they would charge us a flat rate as opposed to a percentage to basically be the on-site support.
Love that. And so you actually signed a contract with them though, a management contract. Mm-hmm. And are you on their site currently so they could get bookings on theirs?
Yes.
Love
yes.
that. Ah.
Yes. So yes. And they send an email to all of their owners every year and they like with the new properties that are at or things like that. I will tell you though, we've been with them now. It's not been a year, but we're still winning the race.
Right.
Airbnb and I are still winning the race.
Right. Okay. Interesting. So now when it comes to operationally, whether it's booked via Airbnb or booked via whatever mm-hmm. other OTAs or direct booking site, are the systems still the same? Do your Airbnb guests still reach out to them? Like everything is the same. It's just, it flips from commissions to flat fee, or how does that work?
I'll be honest. This was like a little bit of a dance.
Yeah.
Because at first I got rid of all, like I didn't do any communication with the people. It was completely on them. And then we started getting reviews that I didn't love. Mm. And I think it's because now I think as a marketer, I freaking know people like to do business with people, mm-hmm. which is why Alexa is Alexa versus a machine. Like we like to, the idea, even with the robots in our world, we like to interact with humans mm-hmm. or personalities or personas. Okay. Which is flow from progressive mayhem, right? Like,
right.
So I could tell that because it was a property management group, people are way more like you could tell that they would just like complain in some capacities to see if they could like wiggle out a free night, which really frustrates me, but it's just working with some renters. Not everybody cares about your property the way you do. Mm-hmm. So at first I relinquished all communication, and it's not like they were doing a bad job, but I can just tell that the connection, that genuine connection was missing. So then I'm like, how about this? What if I do the razzle dazzle before they get there? And so, especially in Airbnb, because you can automate the messages. So mm-hmm. when somebody books, you do a template message that goes out 5 minutes after, 10 minutes after. And so like, I know, again, I'm a marketer. I know how to work this. I can make a really fancy guidebook. I have a website, seaglasslookout.com, shout out, right? So like I can do all the fun stuff. I have an Instagram account for the property. I can do all of that. But then when they get there, if there's an issue, the communication is to talk to the on-site staff. Mm-hmm. So if there's an issue with the hot tub, with the door, with the keypad, with the ever, whatever, it's you talk to the on-site staff. And then once they check out, I pop back into their messages in Airbnb, thanking them for their visit, inviting them to leave us a review, blah, 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 blah. So it's a sandwich where I do the razzle dazzle kind of travel concierge where I'm like just loving. And I, by the way, I actually really, it's like, I enjoy it because they're telling me why they're coming. We're coming to celebrate our family. My grandpa's 80th birthday. I'm like, happy birthday, grandpa. Like I actually love that part. And it takes seconds in a day. And they're sent, and then what happens is when they're at the property, because we have that rapport, they're sending me pictures of their kids catching fishes from the dock, or they're sending me pictures at the beach during sunset and sunrise because they know I love that. So like now we have a relationship.
Or
so
eating lunch at Shaka Taco, which I think we went there every day because Veronica knew all the places to eat. And I think we ate at all of the hot spots.
Oh, I'll treat you right. And the canoe, don't. We had to, I don't know if we have time for the cannoli story that you did.
Yeah. Might have knocked on their door when they were closed because Veronica said we had to get it.
But yeah, like now we have this rapport. So like if something happens, I'm still getting 5-star reviews. So like even when the jacuzzi wasn't working, I got a 5-star review because they knew that I cared about the property as much as they cared about the property. And we have that rapport.
What I love your the analogy about Flo and Alexa and Mayhem, and that people want to, I think they do have a little bit more. Well, A, it's human to human. So when you're talking to someone versus a company, your tone and your understanding is very different. Can you take us through like what were some of the reviews? Like what were some of the things that weren't up to Veronica's standards? Like what were some of the mentions in the reviews that you were like, I got to take this over?
So instead of like 5 stars on cleaning, it would be 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, like we actually changed the entire cleaning crew out. So it wasn't any different. It was just, again, if you could wiggle something out of it. Having a hot tub on the beach is a luxury, but man, that's the most high maintenance thing we have in our house is that hot tub because families come, it's a heavy cover. They'll just leave it off their entire stay. The kids run in, they don't rinse off their feet, there's sand. Mm-hmm. So then it gets cold and then it takes a while to heat up. So the hot tub is always a thing. It's always a thing. But again, when there's no rapport, they're like, you're not maintaining your hot tub. I'm like, that's honey, that's not what it is. That's you.
Right.
So now it's like when they complain about the hot tub, I'm like, hey, just remember I put in the manual that it does better. That like I can reference the things and I reference, I'm like, remember in the guidebook, I talk about like one of the tips I left in the guidebook and I also put it in the manual. Like, oh, that's right. Thank you so much. So it's just different. Mm. But it was a lot of that. It was just, you know, or we didn't have certain amenities or we didn't, they complained about like a, you know, missing hair dryer. Now all of these have been remedied, of course, but it was tick for tack type of stuff. And yeah, it's just frustrating.
Well, and I'm sure a lot of that starts when they walk in and they have a 3 or 4-star clean and automatically you're like on their bad list.
Oh, instantly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing too, that we had to work out. Even the cleaning crew that came with the boutique property management company that we're a part of, they weren't accustomed to. Even though this property management group was pro Airbnb, I still wanted to do it my way. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't know if you remember when you came to the house, there was those little baggies of the shampoo and the conditioner and the soap and the shower gel or whatever in each bathroom. And the way that you fold the toilet paper and like just different things like that. I actually like had a custom flag made. I have all these, anyways, sometimes I'll even like get gifts for our renters, at a soap store that I took you guys at where she makes everything amazing. So I wanted to do more than just the basic amenities that are listed on Airbnb. I wanted to kind of go above and beyond. And so I had to work it out with our cleaning crew and the inspector too, and like how to do this whole optimized like cleaning closet so they could just pull it quickly and everything like that. So that was also stuff that I had to work out with them that has also made, I think, a huge difference. That like the little details, if my people know that I cared about the little details of their visit, then they know that if there was something that was amiss, it's not normal. It's not the norm.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because how you do anything is how you do everything.
Yeah.
So you're now, obviously they're getting paid for the cleaning and then they have a per reservation management fee. And then obviously an additional fee for any of the bookings that they bring in for you.
Is that they'll get their fat percentage if they give me the booking, but they haven't to this point.
That's that incentive for them. Can you give us a rundown of, have there been that oh snap moment where that payment that you make to them per reservation has paid off extreme dividends? Is it helping having some boots on the ground there?
I think for us, I mean, that absolutely has paid off, and the property pays for itself and then some. Mm-hmm. Like, we've done extensive renovations on the, I mean, new paint, new backsplash, new deck, new hot tub. I mean, like a ton of new stuff, and it's all been paid for by the property, which has been fantastic. So there's not a question, like, we can afford having this boutique property management company and come help us. I think for me and my husband, it's honestly like the peace of mind that there's no, it's like the MasterCard commercial, like priceless, you know? And so for me, not having to deal with, you know, a loose board on the stairs, like, oh my gosh, there's a loose board on the stairs, like, heaven help us if anybody gets hurt, right? It's a beach property again, right? Or if the washer's not working, or if the air conditioning's not cooling, or just stuff like that, yeah. We don't have to deal with any of that.
Gotcha.
With any of it.
Why I was so excited to have you on, Veronica, is for many things. You're freaking brilliant. But also, it's that thing that we also talked about at our live event where we were talking about, you know, loans from banks. And if one bank says no, second bank says no, like, keep asking, because someone is most likely going to say yes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you've done for property management. You know, it didn't fit. It didn't fit. It didn't fit. Ooh, this fits. And you're also willing to work with me. Mm-hmm. So while these companies have their contracts and their rules and how they usually do things, if they want the business, they will work with you. Mm-hmm. And that usually means they're willing to have a relationship with you, mm-hmm. which makes you happy. Obviously, there's something in it for them too. It can be this win-win thing.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know. It would be interesting if you got their perspective, if you interviewed them next, like, what's it like working with the Romneys?
Yeah.
But I think in some ways I would like to think that maybe we model for them mm-hmm. what could be different. And like, right. Cause again, we're a younger couple who is accustomed to the Ubers of the world and the Airbnbs of the world and the Netflix of the world. And we're more of that millennial generation that expects a lot for a little.
Yeah.
So, but again, we're the one providing that experience. And if you come from the island, like a traditional property management company, they don't allow, like, for example, this is basic stuff. If a family leaves brand new popsicles in the freezer, leave it for them. No. Property management companies, traditional property management companies go, everything has to be out. Mm-hmm. Nothing can be left in the property itself, right? So everything needs to be out. They don't provide you anything. They don't give you linens. They don't give you, I mean, it's just like, it's a house. It's stripped of all things. Mm-hmm. These people are spending about $7,000 to $8,000 a week mm-hmm. to be at the property to make lifelong memories. And you're not going to like give them a sand bucket or whatever. I don't even know. So like, I think for us to come in and show them the little things that we want to do, whether it's like, you know, custom labeled soaps or a custom flag with my kids as a cartoon pirates or whatever.
Right.
I just think it shows that like you can still make an insane amount of money and still care for it as if it was your own. And I think that's been like kind of our motto as a couple. We want other families to enjoy the property. We obviously still want to make money from the property, but we want to feel like we're the only ones that rented ourselves.
Yeah. Well, with 14,000 new hosts coming to the Airbnb platform every month, and that was a stat, I think last year or something. I mean, at some point, Airbnb's 50. Culture is going mm-hmm. to change the way people expect to show up to a property. And yeah. if companies aren't willing to at least ebb and flow a little bit, that's going to be on them in terms of how that affects their business. And I know change is really hard, especially when it works so well for so long, but change is common. Change is the only yeah. constant thing. Isn't that what they say?
Yeah. And thankfully we found people that are yeah. open to that change and they're not going to just like die on the vine by not being innovative. They are. And they've been really, we are very, very fortunate to have them. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. And I feel like in some ways they help us navigate some of the unknowns that we're not aware of now.
Absolutely.
That I have the U2 in my life. And like, well, now I need to get a white fire extinguisher because before it was aesthetically unpleasing. So now I'll get a white one. But I mean, just different things like that. I'm just appreciative for you guys and appreciative for people who are helping us, the bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and ambitious humans that have no idea what we're getting ourselves into. I have a lot more confidence. In fact, I have so much more confidence in the Airbnb system and short-term rental system that I'm like, now I'm getting more aggressive again. Now that itch is like, let's go. How many more can we get?
Yes, for sure. Love it. All right. Well, we just really like, we were floored by Veronica's story when Sarah and I met her because we're like, oh my gosh, she's exactly like
probably majority of our listeners, but we really just could not get over her like creativity and like, how can I make this work for me, for my family, for the property management? So this is where we want to encourage all of our listeners, like, be creative with it. Maybe it's a co-host. It's, you are not going to do this on your own. You heard us talk in the beginning that is what Veronica does. She builds teams. And for you to think that you are going to host a property by yourself, you are sorely mistaken. You can try it.
You can get burnt out.
You can try it, but you are going to get burnt out. Want to circle back really quick to the cannoli story, because I want to show people that don't take no for an answer. Our host on this lovely island had been really just championing this amazing dessert that we were going to have, but it is the winter time at the beach, so places are closing early. We go to get cannolis. They are freaking, the door is locked.
The whole beach really was like...
The beach was kind of
turned. You could come during out. Office hours. Yeah. We may not, or, you know, open hours. They we may not
signs.
Be here.
We might be open. But Veronica had told us we are getting these. And what was the name of the place? Because I do want to give them a shout out. I ended up meeting
Santorini's.
There. Santorini's. But the doors were locked, but no people. I saw them in there. They were, the lights were on.
They were at the bar.
They were at the bar.
The waiters were at the bar.
They were having their shift drink.
So we're in the car and everyone's like, oh, it's closed. I'm like, no, it's not. And then what happens, Veronica?
Oh my gosh, I die for you. Okay. So number one, me and Annette get out of the car and you go up to the, and it's a glass front door and she's like, ding, ding, ding. So you can't ignore us. We see you. Like, we see you. So they open the door. And by the way, they were supposed to close at what, 9? It's 8:50. So technically we had 10 minutes on the clock.
Right.
They were just finishing up early because nobody was there. Mm-hmm. So we knock on the door and we're like, hey, we're not here to have dinner. We really just want some cannolis. And they're like, and they were, again, they're super kind people. I mean, family run business. And they're like, yeah, come on in. So, okay, count to the people in the car. We're going to have X amount of whatever, 6-7 cannolis. So they go to the back and you have to fill the cannolis, right? So that the little thing doesn't get all soggy by having them pre-filled. So they're filling cannolis. They come out and they're like, oh, we don't have the 8th cannoli that you ordered.
We've paid for 8 cannolis, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, we have 7 shells. We don't have... So you can either have tiramisu, cheesecake, whatever. And Annette goes, actually, we'll just have all 3 of those. That's perfect. And I'm like, I think they were giving us options to substitute. No. Annette's like, I'll just take all of them. That's great. Thank you so much. And they just kind of looked at us and they just kind of shook their head like, okay.
Well, I was talking to the owner and I'm like, he said it's fine. And he was like, it is fine. And I was like, yep, that's right, ladies.
He didn't have a little shit. His eyes were a little shifty. He's like, yeah, I think it's fine. So they go back out and so we leave with 7 cannolis and like 3 more desserts.
And they were good.
And then we dined there like another night. And of course we like continue to support them with our dollar bills.
See, I went back because
yeah, you did. You did.
And the owner was there again and I asked him for his, yeah, he noticed us. We noticed him. And it was like, that was hospitality. Like I ordered it. I paid for it. You can't just replace it. You got to go above and beyond.
You helped them. You taught them how to go above and beyond.
There you go.
That's what we do here. Thanks for listening. We were pushy at times, but we mean well.
Also, I just want to say, I've freaking loved all of your marketing analogies on the show today. I think that really shows your expertise. So why don't you let people know where they can not only find you, but your property if they want to follow along on your journey after the show.
Okay. So my beloved beach house is at Surf City, North Carolina. You can find it on seaglasslookout.com. And that's a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom right on the beach. Front row or no row, baby. And then for me and what I do in architecting dream teams for entrepreneurs, you can find everything about me at veronicaromney.com.
No, and for real, like whether, you know, if you are building a large scale and you want to build a large scale property management company, I know Veronica could help you because that is hospitality. I've worked in restaurants and hotels. It is hard to find a team that is like solid. Mm-hmm. And I just know you would be that missing link for a lot of us out there who just need good people who believe in the business as much as we do. So definitely don't discount checking out Veronica for that stuff too. With that, I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are.
Thanks for visiting.
Talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.